Good morning, Christchurch. Let's say a prayer together. Dear Father, we love you. We trust you. Our hope is in you. We thank you that you are the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I pray that you would fill us with your faithfulness today. I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember what we believe to be true about you and that it would come out in who we are and what we do. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm always so interested in the church and the spread of the New Testament church. 2,000 years ago, you have this group of people that followed Jesus. They were there to witness, you can read in the gospel, these huge moments in his life. They saw him feed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. They saw him walk on water and heal the sick and give sight to the blind. They heard the voice of God declaring Christ his son. They saw his compassion that he had for people and children and how he always brought them near to him. They were there as he made friends with thieves and liars and prostitutes and egomaniacs and extortionists. They listened to him teach about these radical ideas of humility and love and forgiveness, grace and mercy. They were there when he gave his life on the cross. They stood in the empty tomb. They were the ones that he visited when he rose from the grave, and before he went back to heaven, he left them with a mission, a job, and he left them with this thing to do. He said, I want you to take the things that you've seen, the things that you've heard, the things that you were a part of firsthand and experienced, and I want you to talk about them and share them with other people. Take what you witnessed and go out into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and talk about these ideas. And then Christ arose and went back to heaven. And you have this awesome moment in the book of Acts, and Peter gets up and he's sharing what happened, and the Holy Spirit is there and it fills the place. And Peter connects all of this to what he'd seen Christ do and what happened with Jesus, who was crucified, and he was Lord and Christ, the one who'd been promised since the time of their forefathers. And as he was speaking and the Spirit was working, thousands of people heard about Jesus Christ. They gave their lives to him and were baptized. And the word of Jesus Christ spread. And it went out to cities like Corinth and Philippi. And even through the book of Acts, you can see it spreading till you get to the end. Paul makes it all the way to Rome to share the message of Jesus Christ. The church has a new story in Christ. Jerusalem had a new history. What before was marked by lostness and hopelessness, oppression and slavery, was all changed in Jesus Christ. In Christ, they now had stories of freedom and hope and adventure and faith. What started out as this small group of followers of Christ spread and spread until here we stand today, 2,000 years later, part of the church. They say right now there's probably around estimated 2.2 billion people around the entire world who say they are followers of Jesus Christ. All because this small group of people took seriously what Christ said he wanted them to do in the world, that they would go talk about what they had seen firsthand and spread it out from their town to other towns to other towns until it got out into the whole world. And God was with them. They were filled with courage and faith, and the Holy Spirit was at work as they went to all these different cities and they shared what they knew to be true. They shared this idea of hope and redemption in Jesus Christ and love and forgiveness and God's plan in history that sent Christ into the world to die on the cross for us that we might be saved. Because they so believed God was worth knowing. They lived like it, they talked like it, and they loved like it. They took risks, they persevered when things got hard, and they faced incredible challenges. They left what was comfortable behind and went into new places and new towns, and sometimes they were welcome and sometimes they weren't. Sometimes people were interested, other time mobs started to beat them up and throw them out or arrest them. But they so believed Christ matters that living with him is better than anything else, they would not be stopped. And Paul knew this. He'd experienced it firsthand. And this is what he had in mind when he said this to his friends in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, it's written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Paul said, listen, we talk about what we believe in Jesus Christ. And as we're talking about what we know to be true about Christ, there is grace being shared with more and more people. And as this grace is being shared, it leads to thanksgiving and gratitude in hearts, and then the glory of God. He's saying what we believe about Jesus Christ shows up in how we do life. What we believe to be true about Jesus Christ shows up in what we say, what we talk about, and who we are. We share what we've seen Christ do and what we believe to be true about him. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves when we hear these words of Paul is, what do we believe? When we think about God and faith and Jesus Christ and the work of the Spirit, what do we believe? You know, our starting point for belief is God didn't set us up for rejection. God doesn't bait and switch people. He doesn't set us up to fail. He sets us up for life, for salvation, for hope. He saves us not through our effort, but through his. And he doesn't save us because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf. Christ went to the cross and gave his life that we might live. On the cross, Christ gave all that he had so we might have this hope and this future. That Christ exchanged what was worst in us with what was best in him. That Christ showed up on the pages of human history. He became God with us in the world, and we have this new chance, this new life in him, a chance to walk away from guilt and shame and walk in love and forgiveness. What do we believe? We believe that God extends to us forgiveness instead of punishment, grace instead of retribution, love instead of pain. That the grace of Jesus Christ has the power to change who we are today and who we might become in the future. What do we believe? Many of the songs, interestingly enough, we sing help us think about what we believe to be true about Jesus Christ, about God, about our faith, right? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit that he's given us this new life. We believe in the grace of Jesus Christ, that because of him we are loved and forgiven. That through him, his love, his sacrifice, we are made right with God. You know, if you want to challenge more, what do you believe to be true about God? You can read a few books in the Bible that help you think through how you think about God, what you believe about God. Romans is a great place to start. Galatians, Hebrews, these books really dive in. What do we believe to be true about Jesus Christ? And Paul says, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, one day we will be raised with him as well. That where he is, there we will be also. That we have this hope for the future because of what Jesus Christ has done, and that we will be with him. We believe that God is at work making all things whole. That we will be reunited with the love we've lost here on this earth because of our future with Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we believe that we have hope for the future. And this belief offers us a new life in him. And our life is founded on this belief in Jesus Christ, our faith in him, our belief in who he is and what he's done on our behalf. What we believe matters because it shapes who we are, what we do, the decisions that we make, the things that we talk about. Now, interestingly enough, George Barna did a study, and they reported that 9 out of 10 individuals who attempt to explain their beliefs and theology to other people come away from these experiences feeling like they failed. Says the reality of human behavior is most people avoid the activities in which they perceive themselves to be failures. As creatures seeking comfort and pleasure, we emphasize those dimensions and activities in which we are most capable and secure. And so they said, despite the divine command to spread the word, many Christians redirect their energies into areas of spiritual activity that are more satisfying and which they're more likely to achieve success. It says, look, we want to do things we think we're good at, and we avoid things we think we're bad at. That's true, right? We've all experienced this. If you've ever done something that you felt embarrassed by, said the wrong thing, or like you didn't do a good job, you're like, well, I'm never doing that again, right? And apparently this same idea holds true for us when it comes to talking about what we believe. We try it and it feels like it's not a great experience. It didn't go well. There's an awkwardness or an uncomfortableness to it. We're like, well, I'm not doing that again. I tried and it didn't work. But here's the truth that we know from our own history, from the history of the church, people come to Jesus Christ one life at a time. And it usually is through the influence of one or two people who believe in Jesus Christ, who've built relationships with them, who talk about him, what they've experienced, what they've seen, what they've learned, what they've heard. And then they invite their friends to church. And in the church, they get to think about God and hear new ideas and get to know him more. The church is supposed to be this place that spreads these ideas of what we believe to be true about Jesus Christ more and more. It's supposed to be contagious, that more people are coming in, more people are asking questions about God, more people are thinking about him. And all of this happens, it starts with who we are. The way we treat people around us says way more about what we believe than the words that we say. Who we are, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? Like all week, that matters. And it says way more about our faith than 1 hour on Sunday. It's interesting. I think I heard Andy Stanley say this. There's two categories of people who've had influence in our life, those who have hurt us and those who have loved us. And he said they didn't have an impact on you because of what they believed. It wasn't their Christianity. It wasn't being religious. It was simply in the way they treated you. And we can think about that in our own life, right? People who've had an influence on us based on how they've treated us. And it wasn't what they believed. It was what they did and how they interacted with us. And one of the greatest impacts we get to start making in our life is just living out who Christ calls us to be in this world. The best way that we live out who Christ calls us to be is by being loving, kind, and compassionate. It's not this call. Jesus didn't say, all right, go out and argue with people and just wear them down and be obnoxious until they finally can't take it anymore and they give in. That's not what he said. He said, I want you to go out and love people and be gracious and kind. And when we do that, people take notice. You know, it's our job to just live in the way that Christ calls us to live, to be his people, to just go out and see opportunities to serve and help and share the grace of Jesus Christ. It's the work of Jesus Christ to convict, to change, redeem, and save. It's our work to be gracious and kind in all situations. Because you know, the truth is, I wasn't somehow perfect when Christ found me. I know eventually we convince ourselves like, oh, I'm such a good person, this all makes sense, right? The truth is, I was a mess when Christ found me. And he didn't require me to be perfect to believe. He didn't require me to have everything together. I'm still not perfect. I'm still the work in progress, but Christ loves me still. And we show our belief in Jesus Christ by how we treat the people around us. Just in every day, how we do life, we can choose to be the lights that Christ has called us to be in the world by being patient, by helping, by making contributions of generosity, by being good to our family, by making choices with integrity, by being generous and making sacrifices to help others. What we believe shows up in how we do life. What we believe shows up in who we are and what we do. But then Paul says we also talk about what we believe. You know, in our everyday life, this makes sense. We talk about the things that we delight in. We talk about the things that matter to us. We talk about the things that we're excited about, right? Whether it's a TV show that's on, something that happened in your family, something you guys did, something you discovered, a new pet, right? We love to tell people the things that we're interested in and what's going on. And that's how it should be with what we believe about Jesus Christ. It's not some gimmick or some three-step process we have to work out. It's not being obnoxious. It's just doing life with Christ. As we grow up in him and delight in him, he becomes something that we're excited about, something we're so interested in. We want to talk about it to other people. I love Brené Brown said, language is our portal to meaning-making, connection, hearing, learning, and self-awareness. She said, having access to the right words can open up entire universes. Now, I'm a talker, so this kind of stuff like always captures my attention. I'm like, yes. And sometimes somebody can say something with the right language and it like makes that like aha moment go on and like a light bulb clicks and you're like, it makes sense. Okay, language is valuable because it helps us connect and think about life in the world that we live in. And the more that Jesus Christ is part of our life, the more natural it becomes to talk about him. The more we're learning about him, the more he just shows up in who we are. And here's the truth. There are moments in our life where God can use us to point people to him. There are intentional moments that happen that God has put us in the right place at the right time. And if we have an open heart to him at work, we can be a connecting point to other people, to Jesus Christ. But for that to happen, we have to have an open heart to God. We have to say, God, I want to help connect people to you. We have to say, I'm available. If you have somebody that you want to connect, if you have a moment that you want to be at work, my life is in your hands. You can do your work in me. And then as we do life, we just get to know people around us. We talk to people. We get to know them. We become interested in part of their lives. God made us us. We have different experiences and backgrounds and likes and dislikes. And the truth is, all of these things contribute to who we are. And God said the world needs a you in it right now. God said you matter, your life is valuable, and right now in this time, there needs to be somebody like you in the world. And as we do life and build relationships with people around us, we make ourselves available to God as he opens up doors of opportunity. See, here's the truth. Jesus most profoundly influenced his disciples by doing life with them. You read through the Gospels and Christ did life with his friends. They did things together. They traveled together, ate together, talked together. He invited them into his world and he was involved in theirs. You can hear about different people in their family getting involved and getting to know each other. And say, we say to Christ, I'm available to you. I'm doing life with other people right now. And if there's an opportunity to serve, give me an opportunity to serve. If there's an opportunity to see something great about you, I want to see something great about you. If there's an opportunity to have a conversation that connects somebody to you, I am available to do this. And sometimes this means engaging with people we don't always agree with. Sometimes this means engaging with people that maybe don't look like we do or talk like we do or think like we do. And that's great. That's how it should be. It's how we get to know each other and learn and grow. Our job isn't to argue people to death. It's to be open to God in our relationships with those around us that we might learn from them and they might learn from us. Sometimes this is just an opportunity to say something nice about Jesus. Something nice about God, something good and healthy about the church, right? Everybody's got all of these opinions. Maybe we get to be the light in certain conversations that just say something good about God. And success in this isn't measured by the number of people who give their life to Jesus Christ. Here's how we measure success. Did I say anything nice about Jesus Christ? Did I say anything about the wonder and awe of who he is this week? If that happened, that's a win. That's a great opportunity for God to work. Did we live in the kind of way that people can see God is good? Did we point anybody through our words and our actions to how much better God is than they might have ever imagined? See, if we want the world to change how they think about God and the church and faith in Jesus Christ, it starts with us. It starts with how we talk about what we believe, and it all starts with the grace that we share. There are entire groups of people right now who think God doesn't care about them, who think the church wants nothing to do with them. And they didn't make that up on their own. They experienced it. They heard it from somebody else. What if we could change that? What if in how we do life, how we treated one another, how we talked to one another, how we share grace with one another, we might show the world how much better God is than they thought? See, God has an overwhelming amount of grace to share, and he shares it with us. God pours out his grace in us so that we can be the people who pour out his grace into the world. God treats us better than we deserve again and again and again and again. And that grace he shares with us allows us to treat people in our lives better than they deserve again and again and again. Remember, it was Christ himself who said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Christ called us to be servants in the world. And here's the truth. We're never going to serve more than Christ served us. We're never going to work harder than Christ did on our behalf. Christ says, "This is what I'm calling you to do. I don't want you to go lord over other people who you are and what you do and how much better than you are. I want you to go out and find places to serve. I don't want you to look down your nose at people and put yourself up on a soapbox and you're better and they're worse and there's somehow this superiority to going on." He's like, "No, I want you to love, and you love through service. You're not to lord over anybody. Christ himself came to give his life as a servant to us. And he sets the example on how to serve. Friends, we are who we are. We are where we are at because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we believe that God has this power to transform lives, that in him the old can become new and the fallen can be restored and those who've wandered away can find their way back home. We believe that when God is at work, incredible things can happen, that there are families and people right now God wants to save, that people really matter to God. And he doesn't want us to hide away. He wants us to get involved, to be part of the world, loving and serving and reaching out hands to help and to be friends with one another, to live with courage and boldness in the face of challenge, to help and care and be compassionate, and to have interest in people who are all around us. See, the potential for what God can do is huge. It's huge. But every one of us have to be willing to take steps towards people, to doing life with people, to understanding what we believe and doing life as with the idea that Christ is better than anything else, and talking about what we believe to be true in him. And sometimes that might feel uncomfortable. Sometimes that might be a risk that we have to take. But when we do, we know that God can do incredible things and that we aren't alone. God is at work. And the people who are in our world, God loves and he wants to save. I heard this incredible story about a man named Dr. William Leslie. He was a doctor and a minister, and in 1912, he felt called to go live and serve in the Congo. And for 17 years, he and his wife served there. They went to different jungles around the Kwilu River and the Vanga. And while he was there, he'd go to all these different tribes and meet different people. And he'd talk about the Bible and share these incredible moments in Jesus's life. And he'd work with children and teach them how to read and write and the value of education. There was a moment where he had a falling out with some of the tribal leaders, and they asked him not to come back. They were able to kind of talk and work towards fixing the problem, but it disrupted, even though they were able to heal from the moment. Funding ran out, and a discouraged Dr. Leslie and his wife came back home. He felt like his time there really didn't amount to much, that he'd failed to make the impact for Jesus Christ that he had desired. In 2010, just 12 years ago, a group traveled back to this area in the Congo. They crossed the river, they hiked 10 miles into the jungle before they reached the first village in the area. Interesting enough, when they showed up, they found across 8 of the villages that they visited, churches. In fact, one of the villages, they found this 1,000-seat stone chapel, and I guess back in the 80s, there was so many people hiking from all of these different villages to come to this church in the jungle that they started planting other churches in other villages, and across 8 of these villages they went to, 8 churches existed where thousands of people weekly would come together and hear Jesus Christ being talked about and learning and growing. And as they met people and talked to people, what they discovered was that what Dr. Leslie had started all of those years ago had taken root. He never got to see the impact that he made. He never got to see what happened as a result of him going out on this adventure and talking about Jesus Christ. But God did an incredible work, and thousands of people across all of these villages know Jesus Christ and come together regularly to worship him and know him better. We don't know what God can do. We don't know what God will do through our words and what we say and how we talk about Christ. But what we do know is God can do more than we know how to ask or imagine. And we know that God is a God with a saving purpose in history, and that we can trust him because he's got an incredible work that he wants to do. Maybe this is the week you can say something great about Jesus Christ. Maybe this week you can just have an open heart to praying with God and saying, if there's an opportunity, I'm yours. Help me to be part of it. If you want to dig in deeper to what you believe, then I invite you to open up your Bible and spend some time with God and let him be at work in your heart, that as you do life, as you talk about who you are, he would have moments to work and opportunities to do incredible work with him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I love you. I trust you. I know that you are good. I'm thankful for opportunities that you give us just to remind us who you are and what you can do. I pray, Father, that you would encourage us in our belief in Jesus Christ and who you are and what you're doing in our lives and in the world. I pray, Father, as we become closer and closer to you, that how we do life, what we talk about, would create divine opportunities to point other people to who you are and what you can do. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.